Thank you. That was beautiful. This afternoon, I'm already thinking about this afternoon. This morning, I would like to turn to the book of Habakkuk. As I've heard Gene say, just go to Matthew and back up a few pages. Habakkuk. I used to say Habakkuk. I think it's Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk is a contemporary of Jeremiah. The two prophets lived during about the same era. And when Habakkuk's prophecy actually comes to pass, the church will already be in glory. I didn't realize that till recently. The church will already be in glory. So why are we as the church looking at these verses today? Well, one of my favorite verses in 2 Timothy is, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So we'll look at this today and see if it can be profitable to us. This is really, first of all, a marvelous testimony of faith. Habakkuk is believing God to bring to pass the promises and the prophecy that he's given to Israel. Are we not believing God to bring to pass the prophecies and the promises he's given to the church? We should be. I hope we are. Especially those ones concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Habakkuk, the name means an embracer. And I'll be honest, as I came in this morning, each time I hugged someone, I thought about Habakkuk. Or one who presses another to his heart. And we do that. It's sincere. We hug one another. Brother Kramer, one of my spiritual fathers, used to say, we can't hug Jesus yet, so hug another saint. And for now, that is wonderful, isn't it? To hug one another. Habakkuk indeed embraces the Lord as we are to embrace him, hold him close to our heart. And Habakkuk also embraces God's people. And we will see Habakkuk is going to embrace this prophecy or this vision that the Lord gives him. So if I was to entitle this message, I would say Embracing the Vision. I had forgotten when I was studying for this and writing out notes. I started a few weeks ago, right after Gene called me. One day I decided to go through some of the many, many CDs that I have collected over the years. And would you believe I came across a CD from over 10 years ago given by one Gene Hawkins, Pursuing the Right Vision. And he used these verses. Well, I had to listen to it. And it was wonderful. Some of the same things I had been shown came out. Some other things I hadn't. And some things I had noted hadn't been brought out in that vision. I also know there was a message at one time given out. It might have been by Gene, but it was called Impelled by the Vision. So we have Impelled by the Vision or Driven by the Vision. We have Pursuing the Right Vision. And I had already decided because of Habakkuk's name, we were going to call this embracing the vision, because saints, there's a vision that we need to hold close to our heart. We need to hold it closer than any other vision we have. Praise the Lord. We are to embrace this vision of Jesus appearing that God has given unto us. In chapter 1, we read that Habakkuk is very distressed concerning the condition of God's people. Are we not distressed about the condition of so many of God's people today? The depression, the confusion, the different things that are happening, not just in the world or in the politics, but with God's people in Christendom. And if there was ever a time for us to embrace this right vision, it's now. We see in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And this burden word is interesting because it comes from a root word which means to lift. Do we not lift up our burdens to the Lord? And that's exactly what Habakkuk was doing. He had a burden for his people. He was discouraged and saddened. He was crying out to the Lord because of the condition that they were in. Habakkuk sees the iniquity of man. He sees their lawlessness. He even sees justice being perverted. And oh my goodness, don't we see that today throughout our country and the world? And most of all, the people disregarding God's standards, making their own standards or believing what someone else tells them is the right thing to do. They're letting other people give them the vision, not God. And God has given us a vision we will see. Hopefully we're already seeing it. Hallelujah. He continues, or these things that Habakkuk is burdened with are happening all around him, and they are continuing. And I know, as Habakkuk says here in chapter 1, verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry? We wonder, how much longer do we cry out to the Lord and look for his appearing before it actually comes to pass? Well, when it finally does, it'll be so quick, it'll be like we were never here. And that is part of the hope and the vision that we should have. We're not going to go through chapter 1, but the Lord answers Habakkuk, and Habakkuk gives kind of a testimony to the Lord, but we still come down to the question, what's Habakkuk to do? What's he going to do in light of all of these things happening among his people and the fact that it doesn't seem like the Lord has brought these things to pass that he has promised? So Habakkuk really doesn't see any end in sight with his natural eyes, does he? And we look around this world today and there really is no answer other than Jesus Christ, is there? But as far as Habakkuk is concerned, faith sees an answer. Faith says, wait on the Lord. Faith says the truth will come. Faith says, you're not going to be turned away. And that's the attitude we're to have, is to have the faith we will not be turned away. As we go back to chapter 2 and our opening text, you could call this Habakkuk's resolution, or he has resolved this is what he's going to do. And it reflects his attitude. And we can get some good examples, some good lessons from Habakkuk concerning the attitude that we're to have in the light of what's happening in the world around us today and in the church around us today and the fact that Jesus is coming soon. Habakkuk could have said, oh, well, what's the use? No one else seems to be concerned about this. Nobody else seems to think there's a big problem around us. No one else thinks that all of this is wrong. Well, we don't go by everyone else. We go by what God has shown us. We go by the standard that's in his word. And so we can cry out with Habakkuk as he says in verse 1, I will stand upon my watch. The first two words, I will. It needs to be personal. Habakkuk has made a personal decision regardless of anyone else around him. I will. That needs to be our attitude. That needs to be my attitude. I will. It's a personal decision that I make. It's an individual choice. I try not to bring my wife up during the messages, but one of the things we've talked about is how intimate God can be with an individual. When you decide on a personal decision, when you make a personal choice to listen to Him and to wait for Him, I don't know, I've been amazed at how personal He can get in my life. And He will do that with us just as He does with anyone who continues to believe Him. And He does it despite the fact that so many people are turning away from Him. So many people are turning away from His standards. And as Habakkuk mentions in chapter 1, so many people are perverting justice. They're adopting the ways of man and His standards. But as an individual, we don't have to do that, do we? We can make our choice ourselves to follow what God says. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul starts out by saying, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And in the next verse says, men shall be. And if you ever read through those shall be's, it's nasty. And it's come to pass, hasn't it? And then in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, Paul writes, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Or as my brother brought out in Sunday school one time, fairy tales. Oh, it's so sad that so many today are believing fairy tales. Something made up by someone, but oh, it sounds so good. Well, it doesn't have near as good an ending as the truth, does it? Praise the Lord. But I don't have to go along with what they are saying and what they're believing. I can be like Habakkuk and make that personal decision. I will. Well, Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch. I will abide. I will occupy. I will wait. We all know Ephesians 6:13, having done all to stand. We stand in the gospel. We stand in the truth. And in the first chapter of Philippians, Paul wrote, I am set for the defense of the gospel. When we take in God's word, it gives us something to stand on, and we are set for the defense of the gospel. We don't have to go out and pick a fight with anyone. As the old saying goes, it will find you. You don't have to look for trouble. If you believe truth, it will find you. But we need to be set for the defense of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Amplified Bible, this phrase, upon my watch, is written this way. I will stand upon my post of observation. My post is where God has placed me. Don't leave your post. Stay where God has placed you. He's placed us each here today. And you know, while we're standing upon our post, it says post of observation. We're watching. And I thought, pay attention. Pay attention to what the Lord is telling you. Pay attention to what He's revealing to you. Don't disregard it. And it's on. He has set me upon the tower or the rampart. And I thought, hallelujah. He's placed us on our post of observation in the heavenlies. We've been placed there spiritually. We're to take that place by faith in the heavenlies. You know what? It gives you a whole new viewpoint, doesn't it? When you're viewing things from the heavenly standpoint, we're still aware of the world around us. It's just so blatant, so extreme, but we're looking at it from a higher vantage point. I love in the Song of Solomon, he says two or three times to the Shulamite, thou art fair, my love. Thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. I normally don't read from notes from another person's message. But I have some notes here from a message that was given out by a young man who's incarcerated in prison and has been enabled by the Lord to preach when they have church in this prison. The title of this message that he gave a couple of years ago is Dove's Eyes. And this is the introduction to this message that he gave. I have looked into dove's eyes and can't say I saw anything beautiful. Maybe even looked a little creepy. Some say dove's eyes represent innocence. In the New Testament, the picture of a dove represents the Holy Spirit. What is truly beautiful about a dove's eyes isn't when you're looking into them, it's when you're looking out through them. That is the beauty of dove's eyes. True beauty is an individual. True beauty in an individual is a change that takes place that opens that person's eyes to spiritual things. And that young man is my son. Praise the Lord. Doves have keen eyesight, and they're an ascending animal, a bird. They use that keen eyesight to see the lay of the land. For us, that means we're to use these dove's eyes that God has given us to see and behold the wonder of His grace and all of the riches that we have. We're to see things as God sees them when we have dove's eyes. As we go on in verse 1 here, we notice Habakkuk says, he's standing on his watch, he's set upon his tower, and he'll watch to see what he will say to me. Notice Habakkuk didn't say, and I'll wait just in case he says something. No, he says, I will watch to see what he will say to me. He knew the Lord will answer. We have that confidence when we go to the throne of grace that the Lord will answer, and he will answer me. He won't tell someone else to tell me. He will answer me. He will speak to me. So we're to be waiting for the Lord to speak to us, knowing that He will. I thought the end of the verse 1 was interesting. What I shall answer when I am reproved. And I thought, oh my gosh, God never reproves faith. Why would He reprove us? And then I remembered in Philippians 3:15, if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Habakkuk wasn't perfect, and as I was talking with someone earlier, we aren't either yet. So there's still things that God will need to reveal to us. But He chastens us as sons because He loves us so much. You know, as natural parents and grandparents, we think no one can love our children, especially our grandchildren, as much as we do. We have no idea. Well, we have a little bit, but we don't know the complete love that God has for us. And because of that, He corrects us. I love the way my brother put it when he was talking about it. He said, it's like we're going along on this journey, we're running this race, and we get veered off course just a little bit, or we might get, distracted. It's like God reaches down, picks us up, turns us around facing in the right direction again and puts us back on the course. That's what He does to each and every one of us if we've decided individually that we will stand and that we will listen to what He says. That's love. Praise the Lord. I remember that son I mentioned when he was younger. He asked me once, Dad, you're always in my business. You're always telling me this, asking where I've been. I said, well, I guess if I didn't love you so much, I wouldn't care. And God loves us too much not to care, saints. Praise the Lord. So if we have a wrong viewpoint, if we have a wrong attitude and we're sincere about the Lord reproving us, we can, in a way, we can say, God, I want you to fix it. I want you to correct my vision. I want you to enable me to see what I need to see. So Habakkuk is offering some wonderful lessons for us with the faith that he has in the midst of all this corruption and perversion that he has all around him. So Habakkuk is waiting for the Lord to speak to him, and when the Lord speaks to him, he's going to embrace it. I hope we do the same when the Lord speaks to us. In verse 2, we see God's answer. And the Lord answered me. Well, lo and behold, he did answer Habakkuk, just like he knew he would. And the Lord's answer, his purpose, he says, write the vision. This word write means to impress deeply on the mind. And the vision is a prophecy or a revelation or something you see mentally. And that's why I say for us, the vision we're to have is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of visions in this world today. A lot of theories, a lot of explanations, a lot of people saying what you need to do for this and what you need to do for that, even in the religious sense. But a lot of them, or really most of them, are not based on Scripture. They're not based on truth. They're not based on God's Word. We're to be focused on the vision. The vision. And you know, so much of Christendom won't accept the truth of the bridal company being a small part of the church, being joined to Christ. But that's the vision that God wants us to have. There's other, as I mentioned, there's other good visions, worthwhile visions in the world, even in the church. The vision of reaching the lost. That's a wonderful vision to have. To reach the lost. Talking to someone earlier, we can be a guide and an example for those who we want to come to salvation and be born again. But that's a wonderful vision. Feeding the hungry is a wonderful vision. Clothing the poor. But there's only one vision that should take the priority in our lives if we're to be full overcomers, and that is the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ coming for his bride. That should take precedence in my life over everything else. If I have that, if I'm focused on that, all of these other things will come into play. They will fall right into place. At the end of verse 1, we mentioned about being reproved and how if we have a wrong attitude about something, God will reprove us and correct us if we allow him to. And I went back to this and I thought, if I'm convicted by the Holy Ghost that this vision of Jesus coming is not the absolute priority in my life, I better let God make it the most important thing in my life. As we hear so many people say, make it happen. God will make it happen if we let him give us that vision as a priority in our lives. Notice it says, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables. Well, before you can make anything plain or explain anything, you should know it. Have you ever heard someone try to explain something and it doesn't take long to realize they really aren't explaining it? Lord, I hope that we don't. I've done that in the natural, especially trying to trick the grandkids, but it doesn't work anymore. We need to know what we're talking about. We need to take it in for ourselves before we can explain it to someone else, before we can share it with someone else. As I've heard Gene say so many times, you cannot give what you do not have. Whether it's time, if you don't have the time to give someone, you can't do it. If you don't have the money, you can't give it. love. If you haven't let God give you His abounding love through the power of the Holy Spirit shedding it abroad in your heart, you can't really give anyone else that real love, can you? And truth. You must know truth before you can share it with someone else. In her notes on Habakkuk, Sister Bodie wrote this about making it plain upon tables. It should be displayed prominently that it may be seen at a distance. He desires it to be clearly understood. This vision should be on display in my life. That should be my embracing the vision to the point that it's on display in my life. I do not want to send out mixed signals. I don't want people to have to read between the lines when they look at my life. I want them to know without a doubt, no question, Dave has a vision, and it's for the coming of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And I like where it says, after write the vision and making it plain on tables, that he may run that readeth it. The only way we can really run this race to win Christ as our prize is by studying God's word and understanding the vision. The more we look into his word, the more clear the vision becomes. The more earnestly we will run. So many people today have blurred vision. They won't let God correct their vision as far as the coming of Jesus is concerned. They can't write it, meaning they can't live it before men. They can't really live. They haven't embraced the vision, so they can't really live it before others. Make no mistake about it. The vision is for me first. Gene gave a message once, I think, called Me First. And at the beginning, I thought, oh, wait a minute. We're supposed to esteem others above ourselves. But no, me first. I need to know the vision before I can write it. I need to know truth before I can give it out. I need to know what God's love is like before I can love others. So it is for me first, but if I live that my life with that vision on display, it can exhort others to embrace the vision. Earlier I mentioned dove's eyes, and that word translated as dove could also be a pigeon. And I thought of a messenger pigeon, you know, messenger bird. And I asked myself, what message am I carrying today? What message am I carrying out there? What kind of hope do I have to share with people? What has been written plain in my life that other people will read it and want to run? And that's for you to decide for yourself. And I thought, you know, I'm not doing too bad, but I can always do better. Praise the Lord. Am I carrying the right message in my experience day to day? Is my communication, my way of life, what it should be? Praise the Lord. And if it's not, and we wait for him to speak, he will reprove us if there's something that needs to be corrected. Hallelujah. I'm to be example to others of the truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can read it and want to run and be encouraged to run. And I was thinking about that he may run that readeth it. Not all who read it turn into runners, do they? But all true runners first had to embrace it, didn't they? We first had to embrace that vision. In verse 3, we see the vision is yet for an appointed time. This vision for Habakkuk was the manifestation of Jehovah to judge his enemies and deliver his people. And again, for us, the vision is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it hasn't happened yet. I don't think. Everyone's still here that was here at the beginning of the message. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I remember being asked a question once, Dave, if you thought that the Lord had come, who would you call first to see if they're still here? And I said, well, I don't know. Oh, it was my mom. I said, oh, I don't know. I said, who would you call? Well, I wouldn't be here. Okay, that is embracing the vision. That is believing that when Jesus comes, he's coming for me. I don't know about you, but he's coming for me. So it's yet for an appointed time. No man knows. It says only the Father knows. And many say that it won't. We read in 2 Peter 3, in the last days there shall be scoffers. Oh, mockers. Oh my gosh, and more of them. We don't have to look for them, do we? Oh, they appear everywhere. And they are saying, where is the promise of his coming? Well, the promise of his coming is in his word, isn't it? The vision is in his word. But I also thought, okay, if I've made the decision to stand where God has placed me, and I've taken my place in the heavenlies by faith, I've paid attention when he has spoken his word to me, and I've allowed him to change my attitude and change me when he shows me it needs to be changed. And if I've embraced that vision to the point that it's evident in my life, I can be the vision, I can be the promise of his coming. I can say, look at me. Where's the promise of his coming? Right here. I believe it so strongly that I want it to be evident in my life that other people will read that. Oh, okay, you really do believe it, don't you? Oh my gosh. I remember Brother Gene talking about the first time he might have met Brother Smith, and he said, I had never met anyone in my life, and all they talked about was the coming of the Lord. Ta-da! Brother Gene read it. It was plain upon the tables of their lives, and now he's running it and writing the vision, isn't he, saints? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's one person that read it that is running now. Hallelujah. It's yet for an appointed time. It hasn't happened yet. But I like what it says in the Amplified. In the King James, it says, it will surely come, it will not tarry. In the Amplified, it says, it will not be behindhand on its appointed day. In other words, it will be on time. When the coming of Jesus is here, it will be on time. He will not tarry. God will say, it's time to go get your bride. Hallelujah. In verse 4, we're going to close with this. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. The proud and independent don't see any need for God. And there's a lot of those people today, more and more. People's rights, in that Laodicean condition, aren't we? Each doing what's right in his own eyes. Well, those of us with dove's eyes, we do what's right in God's eyes because we have a different viewpoint, don't we? Praise the Lord. Despite all of that and all of these things surrounding us today and all of the things that surrounded Habakkuk in his day, we have the same answer declared by the scripture. The just shall live by his faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that it's important to lay a hold of this vision and embrace it to the point that we believe Jesus is coming, that I believe Jesus is coming in my lifetime. He may not, but it's important that I believe he's coming in my lifetime. Whether he comes or not in my lifetime, it will still make a difference in me. It will still make a difference in what vision I'm writing upon the tables of my life for people to read. We read in 1 John, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. We're purified by having that hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and believing God and embracing this marvelous vision that he has for us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.